Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. I'm really excited about today's episode as we dive into skincare and skincare essentials. Now, if you're anything like me, you're maybe wondering, what should we be using on our skin? Should it be chemical free? What are the arguments for that? What is our go-to products that we should be using every day, and what can we do to keep those fine lines and wrinkles at bay? Now, if you've ever asked any of those questions or you just want to know more about how to look after your skin really well, then definitely listen in to today's episode where I interview the lovely Alana Mitchell. Now, Alana is a medical esthetician and she's a multi-business owner. She is happily married and has two boys of her own. Now, Alana also has her own affordable luxury skincare line for busy, warm-hearted women. She uses clean ingredients in her products and she really believes that we need to take care of the women who take care of everybody else. So, let's listen in and hear all her wisdom about skincare.
Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health.
Hi everyone and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health podcast. Today I have my amazing guest Alana Mitchell on the show. So welcome to the show, Alana. It's so great to have you on.
Hi Kate, thanks so much for having me. I am super excited to be here.
Well, I'm super excited to have you on because as I was saying just before we started the podcast, I find that skincare is one of those things that everybody wants to know about. They want to know if they're doing the right things by looking after their skin. But, you know, as we get older, we still want to look good. We want to minimize wrinkles. And there's so much information out there about skincare that it's hard to know what you should be doing. So that's why I wanted you to come on the show and share all your expertise with everybody.
Yes, it's a perfect correlation with what you're doing and what your listeners are all about. And my philosophy as a licensed esthetician, and I'm here in the US and California, is overall health is really the most important for your skin. So what you're doing with your nutrition and helping people to live healthy lives, that I always say is the number one thing for your skin. So you're already on the right track.
Oh, well, that's always nice to know. Because sometimes there's so many products that you think, oh, I probably should be using this. And yeah, you just don't know. So at least we're promoting sort of the first step towards skincare. So that's great.
Yes, you absolutely are.
Can you share with us a little bit about how you got into the field of skincare and how you developed your own line of skincare? Because I know you have your own line as well.
Yes, I'd love to. So I always joke that I was born in the beauty industry because my mother actually opened up a beauty supply store in the 70s for professionals. So she started this business and doing that brick and mortar. And then it really grew from professionals to the public. And so she started offering, and it was primary hair care. And then as her businesses grew, at one point she had about 8 locations in California. She opened up a day spa. The baby boomers were getting into their 40s and 50s, and they said, we don't want to age. And that really started the big anti-aging skincare revolution here in the U.S., where people were paying money and attention. And they said, no, I'm not happy with my Pond's Cold Cream. I want something more. I want something better. And so I had the opportunity to be a part of that trend that is here to stay. And it really inspired me. I just love skincare. And so I kind of found my niche in the beauty industry was skincare.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Your mom was like on it right from the start.
Yeah. She's always been a savvy businesswoman. She was actually a real estate agent first. So, yeah, we always say the beauty industry, it's such a great industry and I love it. And I'm so thankful that she taught me so much.
Yeah, a great mentor to have even when you're growing up to help you learn all the stuff before you begin. Now we're talking about skincare essentials today. So kind of diving straight in, you know, maybe you're a mum, maybe you're short on time, maybe you don't have a lot of money, you know, and what are the main things that as women we should be starting to focus on, and maybe what products should we be using that are our go-tos, must have in our skincare routines?
Yes. One thing that everyone should be doing, whether you're a mom or you're a teenager or whatnot, is making sure in the evening before you go to bed that you're thoroughly cleansing your skin. Now, I hear a lot of people say they just sleep in their makeup or they don't wash their face before bed. And I just kind of cringe because that is going to do a lot of damage to your skin. And, you know, I see you cringing. Are you...
Yeah, only because I know I'm the reverse. I am one of those people that I could not go to bed without taking stuff off.
Okay. Thank goodness.
And yeah, and usually I've got like a makeup remover that I use, mm-hmm. and then I will cleanse my skin after that. Because yeah, it's amazing the stuff that comes off when
once
you're
you get off. And yeah. And do you wear makeup and SPF?
I don't wear a lot of makeup during the day, so I am very much just a concealer and mascara type of girl. It's only if I'm going to go out, you know, that I'm going to put on foundation and blush and all that sort of stuff. But my moisturizer I use every day is an SPF. But in saying that, a few girlfriends have said, what rating is it? Because, you know, 15 plus used to be the standard and then it went to 30 plus and now they're telling me it must be 50 plus.
Yeah.
So a good question to ask is what SPF rating should we be using?
Yes, that's a really, really good question. And so basically that number, that SPF, is an indicator of how much of the UVB, the ultraviolet burning rays, are being blocked out. So if you are using an SPF 15, that's going to be about a 93% block. And then a 30 SPF 30 is going to be a 97% block. And then SPF 100, which I don't know, I haven't really seen a lot of SPF 100s personally, that's a 99% block. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much you're blocking in those UVB rays to prevent from burning. So I have an SPF and I have a 44 and 47. So that's great. But usually I would say anything 30 plus, you're in good shape. I personally wouldn't go below a 30.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a good standard. And then going back to your question was really good. Like what you could be doing is like thoroughly washing your face at night. So you were saying, and this relates to SPF. So there's two types of SPFs. There is a physical, which is a mineral sunscreen, and then there's a chemical sunscreen. And then there's actually three types, which uses a combination of both active ingredients. So if you have active ingredients that are physical, which is like your zinc, you know, that white face you get, or the titanium dioxide, those I love because they don't enter your bloodstream. They do sit on the surface. They're natural. They're reef safe. So that's very important. But you do have to break that down at night to cleanse it off your skin. So you're wearing your SPF every day, which is great. You want to do that. So that's one of my tips. But the second is, again, thoroughly cleansing your skin. So if you're using like your makeup remover, anything that has kind of an oil base, like coconut oil, MCT oil, olive oil, that will help break down that zinc and titanium dioxide that you're using in your SPF to help thoroughly cleanse your skin so you don't, you know, get breakouts or clogged pores and things like that. So that's my tip, is the SPF during the day and then thoroughly cleansing at night, at least two, if not three cleansings.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, okay.
Definitely. Yeah, a washcloth is super helpful. Facial brush. Those are all like your best friends, and you like use those. Get those. Get in there and just, you know, rub it out.
Ah, Okay. I'll definitely have to change my routine then and do a few more cleansing cycles because I've only been cleansing.
Do more cleansings. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
And
sure.
Especially like you said, you use that eye makeup remover. You want to make sure you get that eye makeup remover off out of your eyes.
Yeah. And serum wise, I know I use a vitamin E rosehip oil serum in the evening, ideally to help restore moisture back into my skin because I know I have very dry skin. Do you often recommend serums to people?
Yes. One that is great that you might want to add into your routine that is really great for all skin types and you can use all year round and it helps with all of your anti-aging is a vitamin C serum or a vitamin C moisturizer. The vitamin C is going to help with pigmentation issues. It's going to help with fine lines. It's going to help brighten up your skin. So it is your year-round vitamin C serum is your way to go for anti-aging. I love a vitamin C serum or moisturizer.
Okay, awesome. All right. And when it comes to skincare steps, you know, we know that we should be cleansing and we should be using a SPF, but do you think, you know, should there be the extra toning and things that come in between, or are they just sort of bonuses and, you know, fit it in when you can, or should we be doing that every day as well?
That's a good question. So traditionally toners were made to balance the pH in your skin. So you don't need a toner. What I would say that you do need is an eye cream. Every night you should put on an eye cream. I put on my eye cream during the day as well before my makeup. The eyes will give away your age faster than anything. So if you're not already using an eye cream, that's something that I strongly believe will make a huge difference. So you don't need to worry about the toners and the mists or anything like that. If you just want to incorporate one thing that you're not doing, an eye cream would be my absolute go-to.
Amazing. And do you have those in your skincare line as well?
Yes, I do. I have my peptide eye cream is one of my best sellers. And again, it's a product for all skin types you can use year round. I say that because there are some skin products that you can't use year round because if you are in the sun a lot, for example, a retinol vitamin, which is a derivative from vitamin A, that can make you photosensitive. So you're sensitive to the sun. So again, if it's your basic in skincare, you're starting out, you don't want to complicate things. I like to point people towards the vitamin C and then a peptide eye cream, which is safe year round. Get those done and mastered. And then you can always up the ante in your skincare routine. Like I could give you 100 things a day, but I'm not. So I always like to say, just do a little bit more, see how that goes. And then there's always more that you can be doing. So.
Yeah, I think it's good to start with the basics, get that right, and then expand from there.
Yeah, I don't want to overwhelm people and think, oh, I have to do 100 things. No, no, no. It's like my profession, my passion. So I can always add things to my routine. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to do what works for you and what time you're given and your life. You just got to make it work best for you.
Yeah, definitely. And when it comes to, say, natural skincare and makeup, because, you know, myself being a nutritionist, I'm very much about low tox and eliminating chemicals. And I often recommend that to my clients as well, just to help reduce the chemical load in our bodies, to help reduce, you know, our risk of cancers and all the rest of it. But when it comes to skincare, how important is it to go chemical free? Because I know I've been before to like have a facial and they ask me what products I'm using and I list them out and they're like, they're okay, but they're not great. In other words, buy our products that they're full of chemicals. So I've always been resistant to that, but can you shed some light on, you know, what maybe we should be avoiding when it comes to skincare with chemicals?
Yes, that's a great question. And there are each government, you know, regulates. So FDA here in America, their regulations, as sadly, is kind of poor. So there has been a big revival of clean beauty. I don't know if you've heard that term, but it is a big deal here. And that is my skincare brand is Clean Beauty. And it falls under not natural, but basically saying you can use active ingredients that are quote unquote scientific, maybe even clinical, that are good for your skin, but not harmful to your body. You're not absorbing, like you said, toxic chemicals and things into your body. And that could be certain preservatives that are not great. That could be down to, you know, when, now that I do some formulation, it's really interesting when you start to see what other manufacturers put in their ingredient list. And when you're going, they just added this for fragrance, and we don't have to add perfume for fragrance. I like using like essential oils for fragrance. So, you know, it's a very, very small amount. It's great to add into your skincare by avoiding. So I think perfume would be my number one thing that I would say. If you see that on a label, I would say, no, thank you. It usually irritates your skin. It's just usually then also filled with other things if they're adding perfume to it. So that would be my number one, I would say. Stay away from products that have perfume on the label. Just no bueno, not good for you. And then as far as in detail, I should probably researched a bit more of how Australia has it regulated, but the EU has it very regulated on what they even allow. So it really depends on your country. Where you're at in the US, we have to do a ton of research on our own as consumers, because sadly, it's just not regulated as it should be.
Well, I think they're a little bit lax here because, you know, you can put parabens, synthetics, lots of different chemicals go into products.
There you go. No parabens. I'd say no to parabens. So that's really easy. Yeah, the synthetics. There's a really cool website called Credo Beauty. And they have what they call the dirty list, and they talk about kind of a breakdown. I agree with probably about 90% of that list. So again, those products don't have the beauty ingredients in there. It's pretty expensive of a list, but off the top of my head, yeah, fragrance, parabens, mineral oil, EDTA. And I could probably post a list. We tag on social media. I'll get you a list that's, you know, kind of like the top 10 no-nos.
Yeah. And we might link that in the show notes too for everyone, because I think it is quite confusing. Sometimes, you know, you do, even on the natural products, you'll look at the back and they're big names. Do you know what I mean? And you're kind of like, you can't tell whether or not this is a safe ingredient or not. So I think just having that awareness for people can really help.
Yeah. And natural is a deceiving word. It really is, because there's things that are natural that aren't good for you, and then, you know, vice versa. So yeah, it's good to educate yourself, and yeah, we'll maybe make a list together and post that, because that'd be really fun to do.
Yeah, it'd be great. So thank you for that. And, you know, I brought up facials before, and I sort of said before we started this interview, I wanted to ask about facials, because you know, I only get them every now and again, and I'm often guilted, like whoever gives me the facial is like, you really should be doing this at least once a month, you know, at the minimum, you know, and you know, facials for me, time-wise, trying to find an hour and a half or whatever to fit it in to go off for a facial, and they're lovely and I enjoy them too. But I know there's differences in facials too, and whether or not you have just, you know, all the creams and stuff come out on, or whether or not, you know, somebody told me like having the, not the mist, but like the heat.
The toner. The steamer. Yeah.
The steamer is a must do. So can you give us some more information on facials? You know, should we have them? How often should we have them? Which ones we should be looking for?
Yes. So as an esthetician, I can do a lot of things at home for myself, right? And we are really lucky that there are so many great at-home tools and devices now that we didn't have 5 years ago. So you can get a steamer at home to use. So that steamer just helping to open up the pores to thoroughly cleanse the skin, and if you're going to do extraction. So that is one thing that, you know, getting a facial that a lot of people don't do correctly at home is extraction. Now, you don't need to do an extraction every night. So you know, if you've got blackheads, if you have whiteheads, you know, you have things like that, that's good to go. Yeah, once a month would be the kind of soonest. you can go every other month. You can go once a quarter. Don't feel pressured to have to go once a month. Go whenever it works for you. But still take care of your skin at home. So there's a lot you can do. So you can buy that steamer at home. They even have now, I bought on Amazon to test out. It is like a metal spatula and it's great for cleaning out your skin, and it vibrates and it has this, you know, it's really cool. And so it helps clean out your pores. So that's something that you can do at home, super easy. Now there are things, for example, here we have something called a hydrofacial machine, and you can only go to get the hydrofacial. And I love it. I actually just got one in Texas at the Dallas Esthetician, and it is great because that machine is thousands of dollars. So I'm not going to buy one for home, but I love what that did. So I would say, you know, you got to decide what you need. You know, if you've got really acneic skin, I would say it's worth it to go in once a month. If you're doing anti-aging, like myself, I know that I want to go get a hydrofacial. I know that I want maybe, you know, a top-notch chemical peel, and I don't want to do it at home. I just want to lay there and relax. I'll go in and do that. So for anti-aging, you can go in once a quarter and do that. But acneic skin, if you're really struggling, find someone who specializes in problematic skin. That's the cool part, is I specialize in anti-aging, but there's other estheticians out there that specialize in exactly your skin needs. So I would look for that person and just make sure you vibe with them, that they're not pressuring you and that they get you and your needs. So that's really the most important.
Yeah. And I love that you touched on acne and that, because it is one of those things that even as women get older, you can still have the odd breakout. It might be hormonal around that time of the month, you know, and you kind of do stress out and think, why is this here? And how am I going to cover it up and get rid of it? So do you have any sort of special tips for people at home if they're getting those sort of breakouts, you know, on a monthly basis?
Yes. I love a high frequency device. It's an esthetician secret. So it's something that's been in our back bar, you know, in our treatment room, but I'm looking to bring my own to market. And what it is it's a glass tube, and inside the tube, it has gas in it. And when electricity hits the glass tube, it emits a frequency, and that frequency can help to kill bacteria on the skin. And it is super cool and unique. If you've waxed recently and you're red, it can help reduce that. It helps eliminate breakout. There's also ones that are great for anti-aging. So I'm releasing one and I'm working on that actually is a roller rather than this. Right now, they kind of come in this kind of funky glass tube with like this mushroom head, and it's really awkward to put like go on your face. And so my idea was, we should make this into a have a roller. So working on that right now, but you know, you can find them on Amazon and different places, high frequency machines, but that is probably one of the best things for your skin if you're getting breakouts and to just maintain all of the above. So that is an esthetician secret for sure.
Ah, that's amazing. So everybody listening in, if you're getting breakouts, jump onto Amazon until Alana's one is out. Yeah. And then you'll be able to get hers.
Yeah. I think now, they're like $30 too, or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like, so very reasonably yeah. for us to be able to do it at home.
Super reasonable. Yeah.
And you're sort of saying that you focus on anti-aging, and I know most women want to know how they can, you know, minimize wrinkles and their fine lines. So what are some of your go-to tips for women just to help to, I guess, keep that sort of vitality in their skin and minimize wrinkles coming through?
Yes, the SPF is very important. The eye cream, thoroughly cleansing your skin, all that is very important. And then I would say, don't be afraid to use your anti-aging moisturizers and serums at night. So layer those on. So again, your vitamin C, your retinol, that's going to be really, really good. I also love a good stone roller. That's great for product penetration, help relax. I'm a clincher, so it is so good for my muscles and just relaxation, increases blood circulation. I love that. And I'm not against med spa treatment. So injections, that was something we kind of started to talk about. A lot of people go, oh my gosh, injections, Botox. And Botox has been a word that is simultaneously used for all injections, but they're not. Their Botox is by the company Allergan, and it is a form of botulism, but it's been used since the 40s, 50s. And we kind of discovered it on accident that it was going to have all these aesthetic benefits. But I have a lot of dear friends that use it, and it really helps with their headaches and migraines. So if you're suffering from headaches and migraines and things like that, it really does work wonders. And now there's even other versions of the Botox that's put out that is kind of new and improved and better. Then you've got your injectables. So that's going to help. So you've got fine lines around your lip, around your hair and the mouth. That's really popular. There is basically most of them, the ones that are the most quote unquote natural, is called hyaluronic acid. Now your body naturally has hyaluronic acid in the skin cells. So what they're injecting is more of what you already have. So I would say an injection is called Refine, Juvederm. Those are all really good and really natural. And over time, it gets absorbed and breaks down because it's, again, something your body naturally already has. So injections, that would be your fillers. And then we've got Botox, and that would be to help relax the muscles. Those are a relaxer. So they're not going to fill in the lines, but they're going to help smooth out the lines because it relaxes the muscle.
Yeah. And you might not be able to answer this question, but a few friends have sort of told me that with Botox, you know, because everyone asks how long it lasts for, they say it's a very individual thing and it depends on how your body processes it. But, you know, are you able to sort of expand on that at all?
Yes. No, it is. It is tricky. So some of us, interestingly, like, will use more of our muscle facial expressions, right? So my husband has a really strong brow, and he has what's called the 11s, which goes right in between his eyebrows, and they're just kind of like permanently there. He's got this really strong forehead muscle. So I imagine if he got Botox and the way his body metabolizes, he's been in surgery, they always have to give him extra to put him out. I think he would metabolize that Botox very quickly. Someone like me, I don't use my forehead as much. I'm kind of more conscious of that because I don't want those wrinkles. So I could get a longer span, but generally 3 months is a good time length. If you get 6 months out of Botox, then you're doing really good. But I have worked in med spa places where people have come in and they metabolize it very, very quickly. And that's just the way it is. Your body just metabolizes quickly. So yes, it does vary on individual.
Yeah. And I think that's just something, I guess, for people to be aware of, because sometimes you are going into these things, you know, they say to you, oh yeah, it'll last 4 months, and you're expecting it. You come out and you're like, it's lasted two. What went wrong? You know, so.
And Botox is relatively inexpensive compared to other products. So, you know, you might be looking at, you know, they go by units. It's usually a minimum of 20 units, anywhere from $11 to $30. At least that's what it is here in the US. So $200, $300, kind of a good beginner. It's a good test drive if you want to see. Now, there's a lot of people that are against it because at the end of the day, it is a form of botulism. So you should know that.
Yeah. And I guess it's just an individual choice. Do your research and then go from there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if somebody listening, you know, had a daughter and, you know, maybe they were sort of just hitting that sort of teenage years, maybe they're coming up to the, you know, 13, and they're sort of thinking, oh, maybe they should probably start doing something with their skincare. Is there an age that you sort of recommend that, you know, with your daughters, yes, you should start at a certain age, or, you know, start with a certain step or something?
Great question. So I have an 11-year-old and he is preteen and definitely going through puberty. He's also on the autism spectrum. So he's high functioning. However, teaching him hygiene has always been a concern of mine, and having a routine, because sometimes people on the spectrum might not, you know, he would fight us for hair because of the sensory and all this. So I started really young with teaching them hygiene, teeth, hair, skin, and, you know, SPF, because we live in Southern California and he's outside a lot, and educating him. So now he's 11. And when I say, go put on your SPF before walking out the door, he goes and he doesn't complain. He doesn't bite me. He does it. So I think boys and girls, I bought, it's like a little infographic paper, and it had steps for him on how to cleanse his body properly because he needed that visual. And I wanted him to have that independence. Like, mom doesn't need to help you in the shower with that. Like, you're going to need to do that. And it's like this cute picture of this boy with the washcloth, and he's doing that. And my nephew was visiting, and he got out of the shower and he was like, mom, I learned how to wash my face in there. And she was like, oh my gosh, did you? And he's not on the spectrum, but he was like, can you get me one of those? It was super helpful. So I think you've got to start young, do a routine. It's never too late to start, and just make it about hygiene and care rather than this isn't like a beauty thing. This is about being a healthy person. So that's kind of how we've framed it. And it seemed to has worked very well. And it's not like a feminine or a masculine thing. It's just, this is what we do to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I know my girls are 5 and 7, and we already have we're in Melbourne, Australia. So majority of the time it's pretty warm and sunny. So we, same thing with the SPF, the girls know that that's a standard thing. They've got a little SPF bottle on their school bag. So if they're at school and they need to reapply, like on especially hot day, or they've been running around a lot. So it is just one of those things that we've kind of built into their routines. So I love that you share that it's not about beauty. It's more about looking after ourselves.
Yeah. No one wants to get skin cancer. I know melanoma runs in my husband's family. So I'm very adamant about that for my children. Like, no, we got to take care of ourselves and put on our SPF every day.
Yeah. And here in Australia too, it's melanomas is one of the bigger cancers, and it does kill a lot of people just on a yearly basis. So SPF, I think, became big for us in the 80s. Like, there was a lot of campaigns that came out on the TV and stuff and adverts. So I think, you know, there is a lot more awareness around SPF, but I think there's still that belief that if it's winter and the sun's not out, then I don't need to wear it. So I love that you've been sharing that SPF should be a daily part of our routine.
Yeah. Absolutely it is. Yeah, no, I very much believe in that, and not just living in California, just seeing people's skin, and in many different climates, you can tell people who have been, you know, taking care of their skin and wearing their SPF, drinking their water, eating their vegetables, you know, staying away from those abusive substance like chemical, like, you know, alcohol and smoking, you see it on their body, on their face, and their skin. So,
and just before we wrap up, if there was one thing that listeners could, you know, just go away after listening to this and add into their routine, or just one thing that you really think they should focus on when it comes to looking after their skin, what would that be?
That's a good one. Gosh, I really would say it's to really thoroughly wash your face. Honestly, that would be the number one. That's what I see cause more grief with women and men, is just not that proper cleansing and removing the SPF, removing from the day the oil, the grease, the debris. You know, we have environmental pollution now in the air with smog. You know, we've got blue lights, we've got screens. So it's really about protecting during the day and then really cleansing at night. Most people need another cleanse. Like, if you're doing two, like I said, you probably should be doing three. I find probably like 80% of the people I come in contact with are just not properly cleansing their skin. They still have product on their skin and dirt. At the end of the day, it might look clean, but if I put it under, you know, a wood lamp and microscope, I could be like, oh, see, yeah, not clean. Go back.
Yeah. And I know there's been the odd occasion where I've had makeup on and then, you know, you come home, you kind of forget. So you go to cleanse your skin. I've cleansed it and then gone, oh, I didn't use my makeup remover. I'll use it now after I've cleansed my skin, use my makeup remover and go, oh my goodness, there was a heap left on my face, even after I've cleansed.
Yeah.
So yes, the multiple cleansing, I think, is a really good tip to add in. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on this show today. It's been so insightful, not only for myself, but I know listeners will have gotten a lot out of it as well. Where can listeners, you know, find your products, reach out, follow you on social?
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My brand account is my first and last name, Alana Mitchell. And then I also have Skincare by Alana, which is my retail. So a little bit more about me is the retail side. I actually have a ton of other brands that I carry and recommend. And so that's where you'll see a ton of different tips and lots of different brands. And then my own brand, Alana Mitchell. And that's where I really just focus on my brand and my skincare. So both of those are great places. I'm very active on Instagram and on Facebook. So those are two spots you can find me, and you can go to alanamitchell.com or skincarebyalana.com.
Amazing. And I've been following you on Instagram at Alana Mitchell, and there is so many good, you know, reels that come up and tips that you share. And one that you just shared the other day is when you have the products that you know, maybe you got gifted them and you don't use them, and what other things you can use them for. And that was really quite good, because I had some witch hazel in my cupboard that I never use. And I was like, you know, you go, oh, what should I do with these? Can you, you know, trying to give them to somebody else, it's, you know, skincare is a very personal thing. So that was a really good one. But yeah, she has Alana has so much great stuff on there. Definitely follow her across on Instagram as well.
Oh, good. That was one I was excited about. I'm glad it was helpful. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that you don't kind of think about, and they do just gather dust in your cupboard. So you're like, you end up, I know, you know, I'll do a clean out once a year, and I just end up putting a whole load of products in the bin, essentially. And you're like, it is such a waste.
It is. No, it is. And I get so many products, and I'm supposed to try them out, and then I'm like, what do I do with them? And I do end up giving away, but that's kind of what spurred me on for the idea of like, how can other people repurpose? And, you know, going back to sustainability and recycling and just being mindful of the products and what we're using and not being wasteful. So yeah, hopefully people get some good tips from that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show today. It's been great having you on. I've learned so much, and I'm sure listeners will. And remember to check out the show links, everybody, so that you can follow up with Alana and follow her on socials and check out her skincare range as well.
Thank you so much, Kate. You're doing awesome. I love everything you do. And thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.